It is only want of space that made us sit in some place. We discussed about the need for maintaining the diaries on the part of all, number one. Number two, a constant review of the condition of the abhyasis by the trainers. Personally benefited by the greatness of the system and by the love of the master, most of us feel that we have got a duty to record the advantages we got so that posterity may get better appreciation of the system vis-a-vis others. We have no intention as an institute to decry other systems, but we have a definite confidence that if we do the practice as has been prescribed by the great master and we take recourse to a very, very rational approach to the whole problem of existence, we will be presenting to the world an unassailable evidence of the efficacy of our system. Individuals, case studies have got their own value. Still, a methodology and the scientificness of the system has to be proved instead of just talking about a few examples, because few examples can be found everywhere. God's grace is definitely not restricted to any particular channel. It is available for all. But the methodology helps a lot. So in that direction, we were having some discussions which will come to you. So pardon me for the delay. Before I take up the assignment given to me by Brigadier Krishnaya Garu on talking about the craving of the soul, more as a dialogue with you than a monologue, I would like to, if it may be called so, a digression from the theme of the training program. We met on the occasion of the training course as well as a part of the Janmashtami celebrations we are having. The Lord says, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namukuru Mame Veshyasi Satyante Pratijane Priyosimi. He assures, please Manmana Bhava, please be in my consciousness, be devoted to me, Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Understand that you have got to offer your salutations to me. The Lord says so. Also, He assures that you are dear to me. Priyosime. And our great master, Babaji Maharaj, echoes the same feeling. Without this idea of total surrender to the great master, all the time getting ourselves oriented to His consciousness, being devoted to Him, and having the confidence that we are dear to Him. He is dear to us, most of us agree. Please recognize that He says that we are dear to Him. There are other talks by other people where they will be talking about the concept of yearning towards the circumference, where they will talk about the love of the great master. I thought a few words may help you maintain the consciousness I share with you. I love, O love, I give myself to thee, thine ever, only thine to be. O love, not a master here, we are calling him love, we are dear to him, he is our lover. I give myself to thee, thine ever, only thine to be. I am yours, and forever yours. I remembered one more, where a great seeker tells us, co-seekers, hast thou not heard his silent steps? He comes, comes, ever comes. My idea in telling this thought is, during meditation we know that he comes to you more consciously, more vividly. You are aware of the deep silence of love, the intimacy between only the lover and the lover, beloved and the lover. The intimacy and silence is unique, individual, and cannot be compared with anybody else. Because such comparisons have been made, saying that so-and-so person is more blessed, so-and-so person is less blessed. All are blessed. God's love knows no limitations. While it is an individual relationship for us, for him, it is a unique relationship with all. And with these few thoughts on Gita, I move on to the subject, craving of the soul. This is a message that was given almost at the fag end of the material existence of our Babaji Maharaj. That's on 30th of April 1981. Before this, let me assure you one small sentence which I shared just now with my brothers. When I talk about the O Master, I talk about the Master who has all the masters of the world in him. The special personality has got in him all the past masters. And there is no question of you are trying to distinguish between the Master and Lord Krishna, a point that was made clearer in his letter to Dr. KCV when clarifications were sought on a dream of Lord Krishna. You may read the books. I don't have it. I donated the books that are given to me. I don't have it. Nor do we print it. I have the original cyclostyle material. I personally don't require it. But you can take my word for it. And that was made clear in one of the letters. The mistake you have done, Vardhachari, he says that I am ashamed to answer this question. Since you differentiated between me and him, Krishna disappeared. That is the broadly, exact, literally it is not that, but that is the thought that was conveyed. The same thought I conveyed to you, and I request you not to differentiate between Lord Krishna and our Master, just as it has been my request earlier not to differentiate between Lalaji Maharaj and Babuji Maharaj. In spite of it, there are certain Abhyasis who write to me saying that we feel more attached to Lalaji. Some people write to me say that we felt the grace of the Master coming from Lalaji. I think this type of psychological aberrations must be put down. There are Chitta Vaikalyam. We cannot accept it. Please come out of all these things and remember the one Master. Anyway, dear brothers, this is what Master writes. Significantly, there's an omission of sisters here. I don't know why. I leave it to you to imagine. Man is generally charmed so much by the environment as he has made for himself unconsciously, that he seldom thinks of rising about it. That is, we generally say the environment is like this and all that, but it is not the environment, some abstract concept, but that environment is what we have made. It is our making. Environment as he has made for himself unconsciously. He does not know that he is creating his own environment. And he puts the question, just as you and I would like to put in. How is it possible, sir, that I should make such an environment like this? But how is this to be made possible? When we ponder over it, we find that we have set up in us a community of thoughts, feeding it with impulses, nurtured in the nursery of the brain. Views from all corners resound the same note in the ears, giving additional strength and intensifying the effect of the environment further. Fairly a long sentence, just got enormous load. I would like to draw your attention to the thought, community of thoughts. We know the community of men. Do you know the community of thoughts? Have you ever heard this expression? But then this was given in 81, and today we are in 2001. For 20 years we did not think about it. I am not criticizing you. I am only trying to tell how seriously we view the literature that has been passed on to us. What is this community of thoughts? For your information, I again invite your attention to Lord Krishna, who talked about a pravritti and a nivritti, a daivya pravritti and an asuriya pravritti. Two things he talked. So there are people who are God-oriented, godly in nature. There are people who are ungodly in nature. That's a community. A community of asuras. Do we belong to the community of asuras, or do we have the thoughts which belong to the community of devas? That is the crux. Where do we live? Community of thoughts. What thoughts? Thoughts are not abstract concepts. Thoughts are what we are suffering from or enjoying. Either way, you can put it. You can say you are enjoying the thoughts or you are suffering the thought. But then it's yours. It's a concrete thing. It's not an abstract idea. We tend to abstract because mathematics has taken enormous precedence in our head as a science of sciences, as the mother or the father or whatever, it is the grandfather of sciences. You can use any word you like. This attitude of trying to make things abstract in sadhana is what actually ails, is one of our problems. If you get to know what exactly is the thought you are suffering from, perhaps you will definitely come out of it. Instead, all the abhyasis that I have come across, I ask several questions, they will say, sir, several thoughts have come, sir. I said, okay, what are those thoughts? What is the nature of the thought? Were they divine? Were they undivine? Were they beastly? Were they animalish or human? Are just some abstract concept of an Einstein's theory? I don't think we suffer from such concepts of Newton's theory or Einstein's theory or somebody else's theory when we meditate. They don't come. What we get is an either animal thought or a human thought or a divine thought or something like that. But we don't want to classify that. We would like to classify it saying, sir, thoughts come, sir. Disturbing, sir. I don't know, what is it that is being disturbed? How balanced you were earlier to say that you are disturbed now? That also I do not know. Okay, I am now posing questions to you so that you may ask me. I would not like to give an answer for this. Because I can be going on talking like this. Or as Babaji has written, we can read the whole thing and then say we have understood. But then have we understood this? When we ponder over it, we find that we have set up a community of thoughts, feeding it with impulses. We give the weight for it, feeding it with impulses, nurtured in the nursery of the brain. That is yours. Nobody else has given these thoughts. The asuri thought is yours. The daivi thought is yours. It is your making. It is your nursery. Had you put proper manures, had you put the proper seed, you would have definitely got a beautiful flower. You would not have got thorn. The much adored flower nowadays, the rose, has got invariably certain thorns with it. I think it typically signifies what is the brain of a modern man. He has got some roses, along with it has got also thorns. It is necessary that we should remove these thorns before we offer it to God. Nobody offers the roses along with the thorns in a garland, either for God or for men. It's our duty. If you are not capable of getting only flowers, like a jasmine, without the thorns, then I think you should be prepared to do the weeding job. If you are a fortunate one, okay, happy. Views from all corners resound in the same note. That is, according to your nature of thoughts, any view expressed by other is viewed from that context. An opportunity for spiritual growth, suppose we say, is there, and you are having an asuric mind, you would use it to manipulate others to make them think that you are a great guru. This has been done. I am not talking any abstract things. People tend to become demonical gurus who would like to have other people as pashus. They don't have any difficulty in converting into guru pashu, as Babuji puts it. Because you are nurtured, you are brain like that. Your thoughts are like that. When some input comes to you, you view it from that angle only. Any input that you are looking at it, suppose you are looking at negatively, it means that you are already having such type of notions. You have already have got a negative attitude in your head. As Lalaji Maharaj puts it, he says it, you cannot see a blemish in others unless you've got a blemish in you. It's impossible, he said. The same concept is what is being explained here when he says that views from all corners resound the same note in their ears, giving additional strength. So what does it do? When I get some input, I try to use it, either for my good or bad. And it gives additional strength, either for the good or the bad. And intensifying the effect of the environment further. So the environment is something that is in your head, not outside. Because it is a situation as viewed by you. We are not talking about the gross physical environments. Because the subject under consideration is one of thought, one of divinity, one of meditation. We are not talking about the amount of pollution that is available in a cement factory. That pollution is physical. And it doesn't leave a load in your head unless you got an odd notion that cement itself is bad for the world. You can't help it. The production process has got that problem. A hospital throws out a lot of pollution outside. All sorts of syringes, all sorts of dirty material is thrown out. There's a way of disposal, you are taught. But you can't help it. But nobody thinks about that pollution when he is in meditation. Here, they are not part of our internal environment. They are part of the external environment. Most of us give excuses of these disturbing thoughts that we have got and then say, the selflessness of man may be treated as his defense. Most of us would argue, sir, unfortunate fellow, he is suffering from those thoughts. We talk on behalf of, let's take a defense for him. Some people do that. But I would say, when once we have realized that these are the spoiling agents, it means some diversion has come in. That is, if you at least understand these are the spoiling things, some diversion has already happened. You are thinking in terms of how to get rid of it. You know that it is something bad, so you would definitely, when you know that it is a spoiling agent, you would definitely try to come out of it. This may be taken as the first step towards vairagya or renunciation. My question to most of you would be, have you felt so? Is this so? When he says this is the first step, a vairagya. And vairagya is the first step in the path of adhyatmika yatra. Have you at least this awareness that your mind is polluted, that it is giving you enormous problems, and that you have to get out of it? Or Are you enjoying that pollution? It becomes suffocating for me when some people use all sorts of deodorants, as they call it, on their body and in the room. And then I say, what is this suffocating experience I have got? They enjoy it. I suffer from that. That we are capable of enjoying filth is something that you and I should honestly accept. Because most of your attachments are just that. But we enjoy it. Everybody who knows eating a masala dosa gives a very bad stomach and perhaps a nuisance to others by his sight. But then how many relish it? The filth is relished. I'm sorry if there are any admirers of masala dosa here. But definitely it is not something that is conducive for health. Number one, it is not conducive for the environment because you are going to make it foul. Number two, your mouth smells bad, you can't talk to a person nearby. Number three, and in spite of all these things, you enjoy the filth, right or wrong. Don't think that Babuji's statement that we don't enjoy filth. We enjoy filth. Have you come to the conclusion that we should not enjoy filth? That is the first step of renunciation. Yes, we enjoy it. We enjoy the pornographic material. We also enjoy the terror or the violence. You seem to have an inherent capacity of being a tiger or a lion, and incapable of being so in reality. You would like to be so at least virtually. Why people enjoy this type of terror pictures or terror stories is they would like to be one such. Every person who is a great admirer of detective fiction is basically a person who is a criminal in mind, and since he would not dare to become one because of the social constraints, he becomes virtually one by reading that. This of course takes you to Freud. You better read Freud. I won't talk about it. Because that man has talked much better. More authoritatively he talked about it. There are basic instincts of Eros and Thanatos, as he puts it, and the love and the death, and then both these things are governing you. They are impulses, drives. You can't help it. That takes you to the concept of Kama and Krodha being accepted by Babuji as divine gifts. But once he says that it's a divine gift, I think I have not come across a perverse sadhaka so far who would say that you would enjoy the gift given. I have not come across. I should not be surprised if I come across one. Because we are capable of such twistings. Babaji himself has said, sir, that this is so. So I would like to be that. The devil, quoting the scripture. It does it. This may be taken as a first step towards vairagya or renunciation, and our thought is then set on something better and nobler. Once we want to get out of these things, naturally our thought is the other side. Our duty is to grasp it firmly. These suggestions come to you during your meditation, that you should come out of it. You definitely get it. And he says it is your duty to grasp it. Master is not going to grasp it for you. Master enables an environment in which such a thing is possible for you. And stick to it at all cost. Stick to it at all cost. No. Sir, I know that I should get up early in the morning. I am not able to get. That is, you got the viveka to know that you should get up. You know your sloth is not going to help. You know the message is given. You have got the experience of the awareness of that much of viveka, but you don't hold it. You don't want to stick it at all cost. No, no. I must do sadhana for 1 hour. that much of awareness is there. Babaji says it should be 1 hour. Right? We clearly says it 1 hour. The reasons we have explained other places, why it is to be 1 hour, we have explained. Still, you also know that it should be 1 hour. But your body does not help. I have got some babiasis who will say that their physical body does not permit it. But then the ass must obey. Body does not permit is no excuse. The body is an ass. And it should obey. It's a pursuit. When I call it an ass, I don't mean anything derogatory about it. It is one of the noblest of animals, ass. It's a beast of burden. It does so much work for others. The idea behind it is it carries. An ass is something that carries. It carries the burden of my soul. Therefore, it's an ass. No derogatory statement involved. Understand the meaning of the word ass. It's a beast of burden. It carries me. And then it wants to misbehave. And it says, no, I will not rest. You will say, you take rest after 15 minutes, not now. It's only 45 minutes since you sat. You sit for another 15 minutes and then you will be given your feed. Not now. No, we get up. There are certain odd notions among the people who will say that because we say that you maintain the posture as far as possible, they say, sir, I have to forcibly change it. Why are you so much vexed about the problem? If you have got to change it and keep quiet. Why are you giving an idea to it? If the ass gives a jolt, we are not going to stop the journey, is it not? It gives a jolt. Let it give. We are going. We'll go further. Why are you obsessed about that jolt? And then take it as an excuse to get up. You are throwing the blame on the ass. Actually, the blame is with you. So, grasping it firmly is what we want. The renunciation develops automatically in our system. These are one of the highest of traps. Because Babaji puts it, it automatically happens. It should automatically happen, sir. All other things that he has said early is forgotten. And this sentence alone is taken care of. This is one of the traps, your mental traps. The sloth in you gives you the trap. The laziness in you gives you the trap. The animal in you gives you the trap. Please note it. Here the point is, in our system, what is being done is, there is a diversion of the flow from the lower to the upper, as has been explained in the explicacy of Rajyoga. Because of that, this particular wisdom comes to you and he says the original impulse, you know, the first impulse that comes to you. But I would say when once we have realized that these are spoiling agents, it means some diversion has come in. For this you don't have to do Swadhyaya Pravachanayaja. For this you don't have to do Shravana. For this you don't have to do Manana. You don't have to know that it is wisdom not to get up early in the morning, not to sleep further. It is wisdom to think about the permanency of God and the impermanency of this material world. It is wisdom. For that we have been asked to read a lot of literature in tradition, so that every day you go on hearing that, understand the importance of that, and all that work has been done by the master, by the twist that is given to you, by the upliftment that is given to you in your heart from the lower portion to the upper portion, as has been explained in the efficacy of Rajyoga. That is what is automatically happening. That is what the divine impulse does it. Not your development of Vairagya. That is your headache. You have to catch it. You have to live up to it. That is the warning of the condition. I hope I am clear. If there is any difference of opinion on this, please kindly explain to me, because I know this is one of the traps. Everybody would expect that he should develop the renunciation because it's a matter of gift from the divine. Gift from the divine is a diversion of the flow. It is your duty, once that flow is diverted, to stick on to that. It's a relay race. You have got to take the relay and then move on. Miss the relay, you wait for the next time. Clear? Any doubts? Any points? Want to raise? Please. Yeah, as I say, it's a bodhayanti parasparam for us. I am a sadhaka and I continue to be a sadhaka forever. Because I know what is the problem here. And if you ask me, how do you know? Because I was also one. I also thought this will come. But after some time when I thought it has not come, I did not want to throw the blame on the system, but I thought about it, perhaps I am the person to be blamed. Every one of us know that we have not got certain things. But then we would like to throw it on the inefficiency of the system itself, rather than understand that there are lapses on our part. That is all the meaning of a person who shares. If we cannot be frank with each other, I don't think we can have any bodhayanti at all. Parasparam it will not happen. I can always give a lecture. People have given lectures. And it has not helped. It does not help anybody. We must share. We must understand that other man has also gone through the same process. Then you would like to go and talk to him. But then if you want to suffer always in sloth, nobody is going to help you. Come out of sloth. Know that there is something like permanent, there is something like impermanent. Know there are certain values, know also there are pitfalls. Know there is always somebody who is prepared to put a snarl around your neck and then drag you by it. Call that attachment to your wife or children, father or mother, grandfather or grandchildren. It does not matter much. Money or otherwise. That's a snarl. You are a dog. You are an animal. They put it on your head and then drag you by that. Are you prepared to say no? Don't say no, then nobody can. And that is what his sentence. Our duty is to create duty. Because our duty is to realize. Our duty is to be free, not to be bond. Bond by attachments, bond by other things. We have no business to be bond. It's our duty to be free. How many of us understand it? People talk about it as a right to be free. Right for freedom is what everybody talks in politics. Here we come across a master who talks about a duty to be free. Duty to realize. It's a primary duty of man to realize. That's what he says. It's a primary duty. Primary duty. Not only duty. But then have we understood it that way? Our primary duty is to beg, if I may be pardoned. That is the approach of majority of us. O Master, grant me this. O Master, save me from this. And Master says, free yourself from the Master. Our ultimate aim is not to be bound by the Master also. Free. Swarajyam apnoti. Apnoti manasaspatim. That is, you become the lord of your own mind. Are we having thoughts which chain us all the time? Bind us all the time? Restrict our movement? Constrict our path? Is this not what is happening to us? Is it anybody's making or our own? It's our own. And since it's our own, it is our duty to get out of it. Nobody has put us in bondage. I was sharing with my brother Madhava some thoughts, and there were a few others also. When the process of meditation that we have got, namely, thinking that there's a divine light in your heart, itself is putting divinity in a cage. Have you thought about this idea? Have you ever read seriously about that particular article? Divinity, which is unbound, unlimited, infinite, ever all-pervasive, we are trying to put it in our heart. That means we are trying to put that into a cage. And then he says it flutters and it wants to get out. And he says, it will definitely try to get out, so you also get out along with it, he said. And that is meditation, he says. Have you come across this type of thinking elsewhere? Does it not give you the courage to be free? Don't you understand that our right is to be free? Duty to be free? Duty to be in the company of the divine? Our interdependency with the divine, is it not the truth? All these thoughts come to you during your meditation. We would like to be free. We would like to have the same calmness. Just now as I was reading Tagore's thing, you see, he comes. He seems to be more in need of us than we of him. The moments that we spend thinking about the Master during our meditation are less than the moments of silence that we enjoy. Can any one of you deny? Your conscious attempts to remember the Master during meditation is less than the moments of silence that you have got. Is this not a reassuring factor that God loves us more than we love him? Then why is it we are not responsible to ourselves? Why is it we are not responsible to ourselves? Why is it we are tending to forget our duty? These are all the basic viveka that comes to you from this vairagya. Let me proceed further. The goal of life is easily reached if you are devoted to it, having idea of our Master all the way through. This is what I was driving at. There are different ways of remembering him constantly. Tomorrow, Brigadier Krishna, I will be talking about constant remembrance. Still, I would say, constant remembrance cannot be confused with bhajan. It is not something very difficult. Most of us are married here. Perhaps some are not. So you change the analogy. Maybe you are one of those fortunate people who have got your spouse here itself. Maybe you are not. Maybe you are one of those fortunate people whose parents are here. Maybe you are not. But immediately, directly before your eyes, they are not there. But the awareness of the spouse or the father or the mother or the children is there with you. You are constantly remembering them. It is not something that has missed your attention even for a second. You are still hearing me. I am still talking to you. The same position obtains in your office. The same position obtains while you go somewhere else. Similarly, all the time, Master can be remembered by us by whatever we do. Now, tradition, as it has come to us, with all the impurities that are available, that have been quartered onto it, has taught us certain things, namely bhajan, is a way of constant remembrance. You must be consciously aware of the divine, is the talk or the ween of talk of many systems. Consciously remembering the divine may be an exercise, but surely it is not constant remembrance. Everyone suffers from this. It's not your fault. That's one of the faults of the environment. It has given you that type of thinking. The input is like that, making us blind to a daily, day-to-day experience that we remember our people constantly without uttering their names, nor keeping their photographs before us, nor reading the letters that they might have sent to you earlier. We remember them. Naturally. Then why can't we remember the same way the Master? Here comes the problem. We say that we have to consciously remember. So go on telling Babaji, or Ramchandraji, or call something else, whatever you want to call. And say we are now constantly remembering himself. Anyway, by devotion to the highest, we make a channel from us to him that serves as a path to him. Earlier occasion he has used another thing, that when we think about him, you are at one end of the phone and the other end Master is there, he hears, the channel is made. He gives this here. So channel, if there's a civil engineer here, we'll think in terms of irrigation channel. Suppose there were to be somebody else, the net field, he will say a channel. So I don't know what channels mean. I know only one thing, that there is a connection between two points. Use any word you like. The moment the person who is devoted rings bell here, it's automatically heard there. That's what he says in another occasion. There are three or four examples he gives. Only to tell you, telegraph is one I have already mentioned. Bell is another thing that is mentioned. Channel is the third thing that you got. I don't know whether there are any more. It will be left to the institute to go on doing the research as to what are the examples he has given for the link. What do you mean by the link? Let all of us think together. Give me your reading, your done reading. In such and such place, link is established like this, sir. He has explained this analogy. Then I think we can say, when we use the word link, this is all what Babuji means. We can give a series of things, give the references. That's what an institute is supposed to do. Then only you can tell other person, here is another example given, here is another example is given. Just as umpteen number of stories have been given by tradition, by name of Puranas, all the time trying to tell us that there is one God above, there is a superior being. The attempt of Bhagavata is what? It's only to make us think about a superior being. So many ways, so many Puranas, so many good things. All the time trying to delete our head that there is something more. But then you don't have to do it because the Pranahuti works all the time. Once you are introduced to the system, the Pranahuti works all the time. All that is required is to be just constantly be aware of it, not consciously, but constantly. If you are trying to do it consciously, if you are a driver, you will get into an accident. If you are an engineer, you are likely to see that, civil engineer, you are likely to see the building falls. And if you are to be a surgeon, the patient is unfortunate in your hands. If you are trying to remember the master when you are actually cooperating, the patient is unfortunate. You are very fortunate in remembering him. But then he becomes unfortunate. So don't do such things. Don't make a conscious, because many people have told me this. We try to be consciously aware of himself. You can't do that. The whole method of meditation itself is different. You are asked to think, suppose that there's a divine light, and keep quiet. Always allowing it to work in the subconscious level. So the meditation itself is like that. How can it be different in the case of constant remembrance? Anyway, I'm trespassing the limits of tomorrow's speaker, so I leave it there for him to tackle. No, he will also cover that. When the way is cleaned of all dirt and not the word refuse, there will be no difficulty to tread on it. The channel that we have got, which we try to create between us, the link that we have got, the line that we have got between us and divine, has having a lot of dirt. Okay, dirt is understood. And he uses the word refuse. I don't know if you have read very seriously the diary sayings the last month. You would have noted the word refuse was used in one of the days. And that was referring to truth. Truth is a refuse of reality, he puts it. And this should make many people who are traditional shudder first. What is this concept? Satya, being considered as a refuse. Because the ultimate is not going to be confined to the word Satya. It is not going to be confined to the three adjectives of Sat, Chit and Ananda, however much Raghavan may try to put it in his book. Tomorrow his book is coming up, his commentary is coming up. But then, God refuses to get confined by those words. He's out of this range. And what is this? This is too heavy for him to hold. And that reminds you of the abdomen. Too heavy to hold. Never get rid of it. Refuse. The purity of God is such that it does not accept this impurity of Sat Chit Ananda. This is one of the greatest of statements made by the Master, which there are quite a few here who have experienced. And then they say, yes, it has gone by. It has gone by. Coming to truth. What is truth? What is refuse? Refuse is that it's heavy, we said. And then what is truth, which we consider as refuse? Truth is always with reference to something else. If I make the statement that this is a tumbler, then it makes some sense. Truth by itself has no meaning. It is not an abstract concept. Truth is a relative concept. A statement is true or false. There is nothing like a truth per se. If you can identify God and then say this is God, then he ceases to be God. So, our mental modifications, our thoughts, our thought patterns, are the community of thoughts that we have got, which dictate most of these things to us, are the dirt and the refuse. And what is that community? Granted, all of us are in the divine way. All of us are Devi Pravritti. Because we are thinking in terms of the goal. There is a tendency towards the divine. I will not digress here to talk about the Asuri Pravritti, which is the normal tenor and talk of all people who attend other religious discourses. I will not do that. Here is a company of divine people who want to move on the path of the divinity. Now, what is the dirt and the refuse that we have got? Our notions of what God is, our notions of what is just, our notions of what ought to be the master, our notions of what should be the experience in pranahuti, our notions of what it is to be calm, these are our notions. This is all our dirt. This is the mala that we have got. Majority of us are suffering from these thoughts only. Because you have the experience of the silence or the deep calm within you. And he comes, and comes to tell you that I am with you. Still, you don't want to accept it. Because what is the dirt that is stopping it? Your perception, your traditional knowledge. Which makes you think that it should be a Hari with a Shankha Chakra Gadapane, Dwaraka Nilaya Achyuta. These are the concepts you have got. Or he should be a Nagabhushana. He should be residing in Kailas. Ideas which are very, very odd, which are not experiences during any meditation of any person. They are matters of religious literature. I do not deny the fact that they are matters of religious literature. They are of very high value in understanding our mental states, but only to that extent. They are not the real things that they have seen, but what they have felt. Here I have got a person, maybe a few persons here or there, who have given me the experiences of seeing a blue lotus. I am happy to note that. Blue lotus is something that is kind of supposed to be available only in Manasarovar, nowhere else in the world. I think most of you know lotus are available only in India. And blue lotus is available only in Manasarovar. And he found it in the heart center, blossoming. Great experience. But that is dirt. Tradition would ask me to think that it's a very great experience. But I know it is dirt, it's a refuse, it has to be left behind. Move forward. I can't get stuck to that. I can't get stuck to the Hridaya Kamala. However great it is, however beautiful it is, however enjoyable it is. Because these words I've used now, beauty, connected with your awareness, aesthetic sense, enjoyable, something connected with the pleasure. These are the things that give them the value. When I say I have to go beyond the sensorial things, then where is the question of beauty? Where is the question of being pleasant? It is neither pleasant nor unpleasant. That's what the master says. When you come to the reality, it is that. So it is God. So God is neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And those of you who would like to be more ethical than most, perhaps may I disagree with me when I say he is neither good nor bad. Good or bad are appropriate or inappropriate situations that we come across or we face in our day-to-day life. They are given by one Manu and not by God. Manu Smriti granted and Ambedkar Smriti also granted. I have no objection. What does it matter? Somebody gives something, some code. But they are codes, codes of social behavior. Good and bad. Legal and illegal. From the absolute point of view, when you come to the stage of a neti neti, ethical propositions lose their value. It's also dirt. Can we therefore apply that concept that it is dirt in a social behavior? Surely not. And that is what Babuji and Lalaji Maharaj say, that in a society, you follow the rules of the society. If you go to a place, behave as people who go to that place behave. If you go to the smashan, even when you have got the greatest of the vairagya, that the body is something that is perishable, don't laugh there. Try to put the feeling of feeling sorrow. Don't say that I am a realized fellow. I know this body is perishable. There is no need for you to worry. Don't try to tell the slokas of Gita. Nanu sochanti panditaha. If you are a pandita, be a pandita in your home, not in the smashan. If you go to the smashan, behave as a person who should behave like that. If you go to your temple, behave like the person who goes to the temple. If you have got to do certain things in some places, go to your club, okay, go to the club, behave according to the rules of the club. When you come to the meditation class, do the meditation properly. Don't try to tell something else here. There is some etiquette. There are certain rules of behavior which should be followed. But ultimately, if you look at it from your angle, go in deep into your thing, then you know these things do not have value. And what is the advantage of that feeling? Tolerance. You develop tolerance, you develop titiksha, you develop uprati because of that. Go to the higher states of consciousness. This is what we find. And as a victim of some strong notions, I can tell you, I had occasions of quite a few altercations with my master on the behavioral pattern of others. I had no patience for that. I was impatient to rectify. Then he used to say, no, please wait, it will become all right. I used to say to him that you are a funny person who is trying to compromise all sorts of things. Then he said, yes, I am that only. You will also come to know that what it is. He had his own way of telling. I used to get fret and fume. Many times. The behavior of some people was such odd, obnoxious. Even today, I will not go back on those words. But I have developed tolerance for that obnoxious behavior. On that day, I had no tolerance for it. I was impatient. That there is something wrong from a particular point of view or inappropriate from a particular point of view does not cease to be inappropriate at a later date. It continues to be inappropriate. But we develop tolerance. If you go to the higher angle, to the angle of subspecie eternitatis, as my father would like to put it, the point of the center, when you go to that angle, then no angles exist. No angularities of vision exist. So the dirt and refuse will continue to be with you till the last moment. And we have to go on. When the way is clear, there will be no difficulty to tread on it. The path is cleaner in proportion to our devotion. Our devotion means what? Flattery. Trying to keep one photograph of Master before us. Whatever posture that we like. Put a garland over it, some incense sticks. Then take a harati if necessary. Days will not be far off. Because I understand that there are now certain molds of Master's physical body available. We were having all these days the photographs. Maybe soon we'll be having some sculptures also coming out of it. Each man will make, and the poor Ganesha, I understand, has got now other forms than what originally was granted in tradition. He has got so many heads. I don't know whether there is any great Ganesha Bhakta here, and whether he would object to the faces that are there. And if there were to be a perverse fellow like me, he will put some ass's face also along with other faces and then say, worship it. What is wrong about it? It's a very, very beautiful animal. It has been the best one which carried the great Jesus. We should remember all that. So what is wrong about that? If Garuda can be worshipped, ass can also be done. Garuda carried Vishnu, ass carried Jesus. So what? If you can't take this view of things, you are not going to become free. You are going to be bound by the ideas. Get liberated. Be prepared to put the most ridiculous proposition on. It doesn't matter whether it is Babuji also. This is the problem is one of devotion. Devotion to what? Devotion to our goal. Devotion not to any person. Devotion to the goal. What is our last condition? To be devout. Read Reality of Dharma again. Read Efficacy of Raja again. You will understand that what is the last stage. Is that to be confused with flattery? Is that to be confused with rituals? Is that to be confused with the rites? He's a very devoted person, sir. He attends the satsang that are conducted regularly. Does it make him more devoted? He comes for all the celebrations, sir, of Master. I have regularly been attending 30 celebrations or 40 celebrations. So what? Even the contractor who sells coffee there has been regularly attending that. Has he not been? People have been to Shahjahanpur. The people there also have been. Same fellow has been having the stalls, I know that. Has he not been regularly coming? Does it make him spiritually progress? These are all peculiar ideas. Bondages of ideas. Community of thoughts we have got, which are detrimental to our progress. Nothing can bind us. Nothing shall bind us. This said, that should be the difference. So the devotion that we are talking about is the devotion to the goal. And if that is there, you will not get stuck by anything else. And then the path can be cleared. If it's something other than that, something that is penultimate, as my father would like to put it, then you are getting stuck up at that penultimate. That penultimate may be Narayana, that may be the penultimate may be Mahavishnu, that may be Shankara, that may be Vigneshwara, that may be a Nagasa, Nagesa. It does not matter much. What does it matter? At which level you get stuck up, what does it matter? We get stuck up. Your heart is very pure. It is as good as a golden cage. Would God still reside there? You would flutter and fly. You will not accept your golden cage. I am the most pure being, sir. You ought to be staying here only all the time. Then he will say, sorry, gentlemen, I have got to go. If you want to come with me, we can fly with him. You receive a push from the heart while meditating on him to impel you on the way. Is it not a fact? But are we treading the path? Don't we get the push? Don't you feel that amount of release? Is it not felt by some of us as jerks, which makes them move this way or that way? It impels according to the need. Some people feel it light, some people feel it strongly. The same person feels it certain times light, certain times very strongly. If the resistance is more, the push is more. If the resistance is less, the push is normal. Suppose you're up the incline, you definitely push the cart up with a firm push up. The dirt and refuse our conflicting ideas. Now people have been asking the question, what is mala? And he has answered, conflicting ideas. What is conflicting? What do you mean by conflicting here? We seem to understand the word conflict, but have we? What, can anyone of you help me in just telling what is this conflicting ideas?
It is actually to disturb the state, which causes you don't feel natural and free, you feel disturbed in your mind.
Any other idea other than that?
Which is not in tune with the goal.
You be aware of the thoughts.
Anything else?
Some far and some against thoughts clashing.
Yeah.
Far and positive and negative thoughts.
That is conflict.
In collision.
Yes.
They are getting into conflict, which you are not able to come to a neutrality. So there is a big conflict in
you. Any other idea that you have to share?
There is a dialogue which goes on in the mind.
Right. Dialogue between positive and negative. Right. Then?
Trying to walk together with God and mammon at the same time.
Same thing, what you said. Two conflicts, one is divine and another. The point is, all of us are right. Each one of us have given it from our point of view. Anukul is a sankalpa, pratikul is a varchanam. Well said. What you said is a dynamics. What he said also is a dynamics. We want to own only that anukul is. And whatever is the pratikula, we want to get rid of it. But we seem to be helplessly facing between this, and then the conflict is going on. And that is the dirt. And that can be got rid of only by your constantly remembering the presence of the divine, which you have experienced in your meditation. This point I tried to make it in my centenary article, where I said meditation. I was trying to stress that this point, that namely, please be aware of the divine call. This morning also I was telling this. He is coming. He is the one positive indication for us to stick on to the path of righteousness. And then with a firm grip, throw it out. Throw the other one. The negative aspect definitely clings on to you. You have got to throw it out. It is a pratikulis of varjanam. That is a will that has to be done. Oh, master, please help me to come out of this. No, please, sir, this is yours. I can only say that I am with you. The great Krishna said to Partha, I am with you, it's for you to have the battle. He never said that I will battle for you. He will never do that. God will never fight your battle. It is your headache. He will give the company, give the assurance that the righteousness will win. God is just. He is a Samavarti. Please note that righteousness will always win. Your difficulty is the negative aspect of it seems to be more attractive in terms of mundane matters. I have to do something for the good of others. I have to sacrifice, not give alms. Giving alms is what some religions talk about. I don't talk about that. Because Babaji asks you to sacrifice. Sacrifice means giving more than what you can afford. The misfortune is we don't want to give what we can afford also. Even alms we are not free. The only reason is the pressure that you get from people to whom you are attached. They are the pulling factors. It can be the husband or the wife, it does not matter much, or the father or the son. Who stops you from sacrificing? It is they who stop you from sacrificing. It is these attachments that sacrifice. These attachments are temporary. You have got that wisdom already, but then still you don't. If you know, I am always with you, please note that I am here to help you. Get out of these things, and you will still say that, sir, I have got a mind which is disturbed. Because you still, as you said it, you don't want to choose God and do not know whether you should not choose mammon. You are not made up your mind. And that is the reason for the conflict. The conflict situation is not something that is external to us. It is internal to us. A Sibi could be a Sibi. A Bali could be a Bali. Because they were prepared to ignore the advices of the well-wishers, their alleged well-wishers. And he said, shut up your mouth. Kare Rajalu. Have there not been kings? We are not emperors. We are not Sibis. We are not Balis. We are very, very small people having very, very small properties. But none of us are prepared to leave it for the good of others. Are we? Put a question for yourself. I don't ask anybody to leave, as Babuji also does not ask. But have that attitude. If it goes, don't worry too much. You don't have to give. But if it goes, are you just prepared to keep quiet? No. You can't help the situation, but your mind is just restless because of the attachment. Lack of determination on our part. You don't have to sacrifice. Sacrifice the attachment, at least. That's my request. Don't sacrifice anything. Sacrifice the attachment. I don't know whether it leads or not. First, leave this attachment. That gives you peace of mind. My approach is not social justice. My approach is not ethical. I am just talking about purely spirituality. If you want to have high quality of meditation, the best thing is to leave attachment to these things. Then where is the conflict? I will give you the right to rule the kingdom. Forget for a moment that God, who is helping you, oh Jesus. And Jesus said, no, I will not. I accept God. I don't want your kingdom, because he knows who should be the king or whether he is the king or not. Are we prepared to do that? Don't you think that you want to be all that? And have there not been perverse and very odd interpretations of flying with both the wings? Of the master? A theory which has been terribly perverted. Can you fly without a skew? Can you ever think of flying high? If your skew is towards the earth, you go down to the material matter. If the skew is towards the sky, you go up. Flying with both the wings means straight flying, or you will only be cruising, just like a car. At whatever level you are, at whatever plane you are. Has this not been one of the most misinterpreted messages of the master? So these conflicting thoughts that we are talking about are the dirt and refuse. We must get rid of it. Without it, the road to divinity is not clear. You cannot go. While meditating, if you secure even a temporary lull, that means you have gone a step further on the path. This is what I wanted you to remember. When I started the talk, I gave you this. He comes to us. It's a matter of our experience. The deep silence is a matter of experience, not an assertion of somebody. Not a possibility, but a real experience of all the people who are gathered here. Every one of us have gone through that. And that shows that we are on the path. And the divinity is giving its helping hand. If you want to lose that hand, it is your choice. But if you hold to it firmly, you will definitely get rid of the attachments. But here, you seem to be having a tug of war. One hand this side, another hand this side. You don't know where to go. Have the wisdom to leave it. Because anyway it will cling. Simply you say that I have no attachment to your wife or children, they are not going to go away from you. They are going to be there. Whether you say that you are attached or you are not attached, they are going to be there with you. Whatever your attitude, they will be still with you. Runanubandha rupena bandhu mitra suta dharalayaha. Right? Over. Subject is over. So long as that Rana is there, they will be there. They will not be there even 1 minute afterwards. They will not go 1 minute earlier. Then why stick to it? They are anyway sticking to us. Then why should we stick to it? It is wisdom.
So till their runa is there, they'll stick to
you. They'll stick to you. Yes. What will they do? They should have that. And justice will be done. God Samavarti. Justice will be done. I don't care for the kingdom. I don't care for my wife. I don't care for my son. But then the kingdom stayed on for some time. The wife stayed on for some time. The son also stayed on for some time. Till finally Harishchandra got rid of all. One stayed on up to some time only. And afterwards, the other connection continued. Till it has lost. This happens. Okay, we don't like that example. Then we'll think about Dharmaraja, the Mahaprasthana. All the five went together, six for the 5+1, and then one after another they dropped, and then nobody stopped for the other. If they were to have been the weak souls that as we are, they would have simply stopped along with the all sitting together along with their Dara, namely Draupadi, and not one step forward afterwards. The wisdom of those souls were that they moved on. Okay, sentimentally it appeals to you something as odd, that what is this, this man is talking like this. So when somebody goes, you should move on. What else will you do? Am I not talking an existential proposition? Somebody goes, what else are you going to do? Anyway, this is what you are going to do. I am only asking you to have the wisdom, that's what you are going to do. I am not asking anything unnatural. If you have to retire, you will retire. Nobody is going to ask you to stay for 1 minute more. Okay, he grants you an extension. Okay, he grants you an extension, lease. Another 1 year you will stay. Afterwards, you go. When the time comes, you go. Who is going to stop that? No, no, sir, I have got so much of responsibility, I have to clear it off. If this fellow retires me today, what am I to do? Whatever you do, you do. But that fellow is going to ask you to get out. This is what is going to happen. Okay, it is not so. Come to your hospital. You know that person cannot be cured anymore. You are going to discharge him. Whether he likes it or not, you are going to discharge him. What will happen to me, sir? I am like this. If I go home, nobody is there to care for me. I will stay there. No, no, no. The bed has to be vacated. Some better patient is there. Perhaps he'll get cured. Nobody can save you. You better go home. Is that not what you say? So, can you hold on to a place more than the required time? More than the just time? He will not ask you to stay.
Only in the community of thoughts.
No, you can fool yourself thinking that you can have an eternal existence. Be prepared for the day when you should say goodbye. Use that momentary happiness saying that you are on the path, and still we are not determined. We are not determined to leave the filth, the dirt, the negative forces. Why? Why does it happen? Even if you secure a temporary lull, that means you have gone a step further on the path. This I would request all the brothers and sisters here to kindly remember, that the Master's company is there and is assuring you that he is that we are on the path. Because this temporary lull is something that is a matter of common experience. Is it very peculiar to our system? My answer is yes. I have read literature where they said, can you not grant me at least a moment of silence, peace? Can I not have that vision even for a second? There are people who have said, I had that for a fraction of a second or for 1 minute. That is enough for me for my entire life to carry on. Have they not said it? Okay, granted, that is also not very acceptable to you. Have you not heard the song of Annamacharya who says, he put it to Kalaganti. He was more than happy with one dream, where he saw the Lord and then said, this is enough. This is enough experience for me. What happened to our civilization? Have we lost our gratitude? Those great saints, those great people who had momentary experiences of the divine, were grateful for that particular 1 second or 2 seconds of experience, that they remembered it through their life, made that the sheet anchor of faith. And why is it we require every day so many moments of calmness? Is this not repeated experience that we have got? And have we developed that much of faith in God? I would request you as sadhakas to answer me this question. Don't answer me. Answer yourself, answer God. Why you don't want to feel more and more committed to your sadhana in spite of the fact that that's why I said gratefulness seems to be something that seems to have been lost in the process of modernization. Civilization seems to have taught us how to be ungrateful. The divine is telling us every second that I am with you and we ought to be grateful. But then we are not. Are you firm? Are you firm? The answer is deep in your heart. It says yes. That is the craving of the soul. I attract your attention to another message of the Master. He says, we are moving towards the homeland. One of the first messages that is given in our CD is that. It says, we are moving towards our homeland. Every one of us is moving towards our homeland. The cry is there. That is the craving of the soul. The matter is what is binding us. With our imaginary and illusory attachments, we are trying to say no to the permanent attachment that the divine is telling, I am always with you. I am inseparable from you. You and I are one. You are my best friend. Priyosime. You are my first friend. You are most dear to me. We say, no, my wife is more dear to me than you. And that is the problem. My money is more important than you. My property is more important than you. My son is more important than you. Is this not our answer to our God? Has it not been our fate? Is this not an ungratefulness on our part? In this system particularly. I don't know about other systems. But in this system where we are repeatedly being told, I am with you. I am here. Please hear me. Wait for a time. I will attend to somebody else. And the poor man patiently waits for the next day when you may perhaps sit in meditation. No, poor man. He has to wait. While referring to this path to the ultimate, saints have said beyond and beyond. To this path, he says, to this path that we are following, beyond and beyond, never is a stage that this is ultimate I have reached. Ultimate is an ever-receding one. Don't be satisfied with any condition. Because that itself is a refuse. That itself is a dirt. Satisfaction is a mental state. Agreed? You can't deny that. If you are satisfied with the condition, that means you are enjoying the dirt. You are enjoying the dirt. Don't be satisfied with your condition. Don't be ungrateful. Be grateful to Master every day for the ever new approaches that he is granting you on the path. Don't say at any point of time I have reached. You will never reach. And that is the title Towards Infinity of one of his books. Those people who think about a dhamam, that is a Vaikuntha dhamam, or a Goloka, or a Kailasa, it does not matter much. Are people who are talking about static goals. A path that is fixed. You are not thinking of going beyond. Beyond and beyond is the way of meditation. Religion talks about something else for its own purposes. I won't say they are bad. I won't say that religion is bad. It has got its own purpose. When we speak thus, it sounds very well. Yes, it sounds very well. Beyond and beyond. But when we try to do it, things become a bit difficult. for due preparation is not there. As I hinted just now, the concept of satisfiedness is the problem. Due preparation is not there. We want a condition of being satisfied. We are imposing a condition on experience. It is not an unconditional preparedness for whatever that is given. That which is given should be satisfying to me. This is the reason majority of our abhyasis write to us, sir, nenna meditation chala bagundi sir, ee roju bagaledu sir. Ninna bagundadu emiti ee roju bagaledapodeti. Whatever is given to you, you better take it. You move on. Move on and on. No, sir, that day I had an experience. That experience is not coming to me again, sir. It will not come. In a static path, that is possible. If you are going to be stagnant, it is possible. If you are moving eternally, if you are moving continuously, if you are in a system that is dynamic, can you repeat the experience? Will you be standing at the station of Nagpur on your way to Delhi unless you end your journey there or some breakdown of the train is there? You will move on. No, we want the same experience, sir. Last Basant it was very good, sir. This Basant it's not good. How can Basant be good at time, sometime, and how can it be bad some other time is not a question at all for us. That was satisfying to me. This is not satisfying to me. Yesterday it was a good sitting, sir. Today it is not a good sitting, sir. Yesterday I was not aware of the mosquitoes, sir. Today I am aware of the mosquitoes, sir. What to do? What to do with this type of approach? Now that is what he tells next. I consciousness remains far and near, and it disappears also if we do our abhyas devotedly. I awareness, I consciousness, ahamta. Awareness, I consciousness. That is, I am experiencing something. I am having this. I am not having that. This is I consciousness. This should not be confused with the concept of ego. That's why immediately, next sentence he says, there is a common error almost everywhere that they think I is an enemy. Here he uses the word I. Earlier he used the word I consciousness. Please note the difference. I consciousness is ahamta. I is ego. Identity. Individuality. It is bound to be there. Expecting something for me is I consciousness, including the ecstatic state of bliss during meditation. Is it not true, sir, that you said this morning that thou art the ocean of bliss? Should I not experience it? Yes, he is an ocean of bliss. You need not experience that. If he wants to give you, that experience he will give you. If he does not want to give you, he will not give you. You have no business to expect that. That expectancy is the problem. That is I consciousness. I hope you understand what I am trying to tell here. A subtle difference between I consciousness and I. A common error of all philosophy students and pseudo-philosophy students. I is different from I consciousness. I should get recognition for the meditation that I do, number one. I have done so much work for the institute, therefore I should be recognized. This is I consciousness. I have given sittings to so many people, and therefore they should be grateful to me for all the work that I have done on them. This is I consciousness. I have been regular to abhyasa regularly, therefore I should get this stage, I consciousness. Meditation is a process of having, not expecting. What God gives you, you take. Don't expect something. Maybe the surprise is much more dearer to you than what you thought of. You might have asked for some small thing, perhaps you get a better thing than that. Why do you want to restrict the choice of the grace of God? Why do you want to restrict the grace of God? By saying, this is the condition that I want. Not only you are putting a condition on the grace of God, you are also trying to limit yourself to that goal. By asking a condition, you are limiting yourself to that goal. That is why the paragraph first starts, beyond and beyond. If beyond and beyond is not in your mind, you will definitely ask for a state. It is not something unconnected word. Please note that Master's logic is always perfect. It is just likely that most of us think that we know better English than him, or better language than him, or better spirituality than him. But all that is an illusion. He knows more precisely as to what to say and what not to say. So if you lose his point, there is a common error almost everywhere that they think I is an enemy. That is a negative attachment which makes it hard and impossible. People, basically, this is another question from many abhyasis that I have received. Sarada, I have been having this awareness. I feel like going for something. I must achieve this. This has become a barrier. What difficulties you are talking about? In the beginning, we talked about negative thoughts. We thought anything that is connected with an aspiration is also an attachment and therefore is a barrier. Aspiration is an attachment, surely, but definitely not a barrier. Aspiration to reach a state beyond and beyond is surely an attachment to the concept of beyond and beyond, but it's not a barrier. For nothing they will be going on worrying that I have got this problem, sir, I have got that problem. There's no problem as such. They think that the I, consciousness itself, is an enemy. I itself is an enemy. And he says, once you develop this type of attitude, it is impossible to get rid of it. And that is the problem of majority of the people who go by the name good. This leads to their behavior of saying that extraordinary expressions of humility, no humility. Very, very humble ways they have got. The humbleness is a cloak in which their ID is hidden. It's a cloak. It's a negative attachment. Negative attachment to the concept of humility. They would not like to be normal. Ati vinayam dhurta lachya. So it's nothing new here. Babuji is only telling that. It's a negative attachment. It's very difficult to get rid of it. Because that is something socially very acceptable. Everybody thinks he is very, very humble. And that increases his ego. He's a very humble man, sir. There's another category. People who live very austere life. He's a very person practicing very austere life, sir. Man of him. It is only his miserliness that makes him austere. He is not prepared to give 1 paisa to somebody else. He surely asks you, but doesn't want to give 1 paisa to others. He will not sacrifice anything. And such people go, they have said, very austere, is a good man, sir. So you can think, meditate further on this. When we think of I, it becomes stronger by our own thought force, brought about by concentration. Try to forget the I. It will help a good deal. Now, one of the most significant spiritual truths come now. Next sentence. Once divinity dawns, the negative attitude to life goes far away. In the first paragraph, we have referred to the concept of vairagya, which we generally think is a negative concept to life. Everybody thinks so. It's a negative concept. Christian missionaries have done their best to propagate this idea that we are a negativist type. We are all fellows who are condemning ourselves to the karma theory and all that talk they have made. They're very good at it. Because they do good exercise, homework they do. So we are prone to believe what they say. They think that we are negativists, defeatists, condemning ourselves to what they call fate, a word which we have not used. We have got a karma to which we say that we are bound by it, not a fate. Fate is a Christian concept. Fate is not our concept. It's a borrowed concept from the West. Karma is something that is there. Samavarti is the concept of God we have got. We don't condemn ourselves, saying that we are condemned to this. Because karma gives you, there are three types of karma, prarabdha, sanchita and agami. So karma has been defined very well. We have got always a possibility to better ourselves. We are not condemned to the burial ground, waiting for the great savior to come on the doomsday to certify that I am his man. We are not condemned to that fate. We have got a choice of a rebirth. We can come again, improve ourselves, and then say, yes, we deserve God. Ours is a positive thing. Now, coming back to the subject, once divinity dawns, and divinity has dawned, because the momentary calmness that you have got, momentary silence tells you that you are the path, the divinity has dawned. The negative attitude to life goes far away. We do not think all these things are negative aspects. We always take it as divine blessings and get attached more and more to the divinity. I'm running out of time, sir. I can't help it. I'm only halfway through. I don't know whether it's vital or not. You have asked me to do, and I'm trespassing, that I understand. So the divinity dawns, the negative attitude to life goes. Please note it. Please kindly note it. It does not permit you to be gloomy. Master warns you elsewhere, gloominess is bad for spirituality. Depression is bad for spirituality. Don't get depressed. Don't get gloomy. You have no right to become. Under whatever circumstances it is, you have got to do our duty. And he immediately adds, the demolition of the past is a chapter in our system, in Sahaj Mahal. Demolition of the past. The past karmas I have done, the demolition of that is this. How? We have explained it in detail in Ten Commandments. How we should take what is coming to you in life. And how we should go through our meditation process. Accepting everything as a divine gift and moving on is a chapter. Not something that comes to you saying that Master will definitely give me a relief, sir. He has said that it's a chapter. Chapter means you've got an exercise to do. Something to learn. Some exercise to complete. Then it becomes a chapter, if I am right. Let there not be this cowardice to say that, no, everything, we'll try to duck it under the Master and then say that he will take care of. No such assurance is there. Because he is assuring you the companionship. Just as Arjuna was assured of the companionship of God. He had to fight his battle. We fight our battle. He is there with us. And the demolition of the past happens. All that the past that has happened in the Bharat before the war, demolished. God demolished. Attachments to gurus, attachments to ancestors, attachment to kith, attachment to the kin, attachment to everything. Everything was demolished. And unless these attachments are demolished, you are not going to become free. So demolition of the past, the chapter here. And about the present, we go through the past action. About the future, we don't create. There's another chapter in our system, that the future is not created by us. If you do not form your samskaras, you don't create the future. How not to develop the samskaras has been written by Babuji, and he said that think that all action is mine, do everything that as I do, do not own up your action, do not own up your thought, right? Do not own up your knowledge. Everything is that of the divine. And when you take such an attitude, no samskara is formed and no future is created. And as he puts it, 50% of the problem is solved. That is reality at dawn. Read the concerned chapter, you get it. When we think of the goal, as long its longing brings the distance in view, because we have become used to such sort of thinking. Because when we talk about the ultimate, when we say beyond and beyond, then the distance, are the Ayyappanika, this is not something that I can do. Because we were accustomed to think like that. Tradition has went on, has gone on imprinting on our head that this is not an ordinary matter for grihasthas. Only some people can get it. And after many lives they can get it. It is not possible in one life. You are condemned. All these things. The distance comes to our view. In the beginning we enter what is behind the matter and we touch only the ground and not the reality. That is, when you start thinking, you are just going just behind the matter. And then you are seeing the depths and not the reality. The echo of the voice diminishes when it travels a long distance. And then there is silence all round. Persist in the path. And you find that particular noise which was there doesn't echo further. You are accustomed for certain type of thinking. Persist in the path. You go a distance, then if the echo is not there disturbing you. If you don't go much, then the echo is always there. That is not possible. It is all right for some karanapoya janmulu. I have got my good friend Anjaneyalu, whom you must be here. You told me once, sir, we are karana janmulu. I said, no, yes, everyone is a karana janma. And he asked me, why? Because there is a karma. And a karma is a karana for which I am born. And you are also born like that. So who is not a karana janma? You tell me that. I asked him. He very sincere, obviously, but still, this question he put. Because he thought that the progress which he thinks that I have made in spirituality is something that he cannot make. I said, no. Every one of us is entitled for the ultimate. That's our birthright. And Master says, I will take you there. All that is required is your preparedness to move along with him, not with me. Let there be no illusion amongst any of us that here we are going to take anybody else. We are going to tell you, we have been telling you, that it is the Master and Master alone who takes you. It is His company that you should know. It is the calmness that assures you of His presence. How do you know that He is there with you? The calmness tells you. The calmness is an indication of the presence of the Divine in your heart. And He tells you all the time that I am with you. No, sir, I am getting only conflicting ideas. My problems of my daughter is in my head. My problems of my son-in-law is in my head. The problems of my son is in my head. That is because of your attachment, sir. This attachment is something that is temporary, a part of this life, which itself is a runa of the past, which is a consequence of the past actions. And you have got to go through that. Am I condemned to this, sir? Surely, that's what you wanted. If you want to have use the words condemned, that's what I would say. I would otherwise say that we seem to be condemned to the presence of the divinity to reach the ultimate. How do you like this? You can't deny the company of the divine. You can deny the company of others. The divinity is not prepared to leave you under any circumstance. You are condemned to his presence. This is the problem. He is all the time telling you as your conscience that what you do is something that is inappropriate. You better understand what is appropriate. He is reminding you day in and day out. And that is what you don't want. That echo of the divine is what you want to kill. You would be most happy if you can kill it. 99% of the human population have been doing it by taking resort to drugs, alcohol, other habits. Kill the conscience somehow. Kill it. Kill the divine. Kill the awareness of the divine itself if you can't kill the divine. So one point formula of the modern world is kill the awareness of the divine in you. Don't promote it. Because it is likely to make you most inconvenient. It will make you miserable. It will make you feel you are the worst fellow in this world is yourself. And who wants that certificate? It is a sadhaka who wants it, so that he may know what are the things that he should drop off. But the moment you are told this is an unnecessary load that you have got, no, sir, I am prepared to pay some luggage fees extra. You allow me to carry this. Can I carry some extra luggage, sir? Yes, you can. You can in the train, but not in the ultimate. Then like a Trishanku, you will be thrown out. Even if there were to be some person giving a pass to you to go to the heaven, the authorities in heaven are not likely to receive you. They will say the pass given to you is invalid. Better get down. Get lost. They will throw you all your baggage, lock, stock and barrel out. So don't try to carry the luggage. Travel light. Read the article, travel light. See the linkages. See how Master weaves his thoughts. The echo of the voice diminishes when it travels a long distance, and then more silence. There is silence all around. I believe that this is due. This is a clue to remind us that we can get into a better state. When the calmness that comes to you, here he talks about the silence, another word for it. It is a clue to remind that we can get into a better state. If we enter into the life from which silence starts, full stop. That is, I'm sorry, my eyes are bad. Here he says the silence tells you there's a life of silence. Here there's a life of noise. In the beginning, that's what we started with. It's a life of noise. The life of silence is there. Those of you who had the opportunity. No, I don't think I should grant that word. Some other word you use. Of reading one of my articles called Working in Silence, then you will understand how you can work in silence. If we don't know how to work in silence, we need not talk about spirituality at all. And you and I have to work in silence. That's why we say, you please meditate early in the hours of the day. It's silent. Try to make your mind calm. Try to feel the presence of the divine. Work with it. When we dive deep, then we bring pearls out of it. Obvious sentence. But are we prepared to dive? Or are we prepared to swim? Is it more happy to swim than to dive? Or is it more happy to dive than to swim? Swimmers may answer. I don't know. I don't know swimming. More happy? Okay. You say so, we accept it. Because you are the only person who is answering. So we accept it. I don't know anything about it. The wisdom of man is that he should make the unfavorable things favorable. He's talking about the earlier thing. Because your problems are unfavorable things. You think it's not favorable to you. But in reality they are favorable. A burden, an attachment. It's a disgust you get after some time. With every attachment you get a disgust. Every person feels this. You get a disgust. You do not know what to do with it. Then recluse comes. Don't become a recluse. Let the disgust get transformed into belief in the divine. And then you get a pearl. If you don't go into the problem and try to put it under the carpet, saying that everything is all right, you are only swimming. You are not diving deep. Go into the problem. Try to see which is it that is holding you. You get perhaps an answer there. In other words, we should try to succeed in converting the whole of the material force into spirituality. And it so happens in our system, if we get a competent master. Now the problem comes. Here it is put in capitals. I am 100% sure it is a small one. Because the master is one. As we have said in the beginning itself, O master becomes always our master. The master for all of us. So here you require a person who has moved on the path. A person who got a degree in science, master of science. He is not a scientist. He is not an originator of any new theory. He did not discover all the things that have been taught in science. But he knows. He knows. A man who has moved in the path, who knows something about it, can tell you. If you get such a person, he will tell you how to convert an inconvenient situation into a convenient one. But his words are likely to be bitter and palatable. Because due preparation is not there, as Babaji puts it. The due preparation is required for that. An expectancy of a miraculous solution to a mundane problem is at the level of a tribal consciousness. The beginnings of human life. The preparedness to face the consequences of my earlier action and face the adverse circumstances now, taking it as the justice of a just God, is rational and human. But we tend to lapse into tattoos and totems to save us. Talismans, you got umpteen. The irrationality seems to have a more powerful effect on our mind than rationality. It's only a rational mind that can accept the concept, yes, if I have done something wrong, I should take the punishment for it. If I have done something right, I should get a reward for it. But you come to know in life that this is not necessarily true. Therefore, you are left with no other alternative except to believe or accept the existence of a just God, a Samavarti. He will not do anything wrong. He cannot do anything wrong. And those of you who know a bit of astrology know that the Tula, or the balance symbol in the zodiac, the person who is exalted is Saturn. And he knows what is just. And Saturn, you know, how he behaves. But nobody is prepared for such an interpretation. Because it is not astrology, nor is it mysticism. That is my madness. But I am prepared to share it with you. Because I see a certain amount of the reason behind it. A rationality behind it. Because we see the circumstances in life as something that is not good. I need not have been done this dishonor. I need not have been shown this disrespect. I ought not to have received this punishment. These are words which have no faith in God. A person who has got a faith in God cannot say these things. If you are devout, you cannot say that. That we say it is a fact. And this sadhaka has to rethink there. Does he accept the master as just, or is he one who would simply give some alms to people, who beg? That is the notion which everybody seems to accept. He is capable of giving anything to me, sir. Yes, he is capable of giving anything to you, but are you capable of receiving it is a question. In a funny way, I asked once, 1961, I asked master. He said, in a wink of an eye, I can take a person to realization. And he said, why not you do that for me? Then he said, you can't take it. I didn't understand much of it. I seem to understand something of it now. He may be prepared to give, but are we prepared to take? Are we ready to take? Are we capable of holding power? Don't you think majority of us would like to wield power rather than hold it? Don't we like to suffer from the I consciousness, saying that I am capable of doing this, I am capable of doing that? Is that an I consciousness that suffers? Have we not in that process killed the silence in which we are supposed to be? If you remain yourself in a state of silence, God knows how to work through you. And Babaji asserts, in my system, every Abhyasi, I make use of him, and many miracles do happen because of me. He says it. But then are there Abhyasis? Have we allowed ourselves to be as dead bodies or corpses in the hands of the Master, have we surrendered? Have we become that devout? Put these questions. Aspire for that condition. I am sure the company of the Divine will grant you that. I am not a negativist. As I told you, I am never an activist. I am a confirmed optimist. I am a rabid optimist, if I can put it. My faith in others always goes, every day. The more I fail, the more I succeed in having my optimism. Every failure makes me feel, we can still work better. The deficiency is mine. We can always try to better it. Because you have been taught a lesson. Where you fail. So succeed. Learn the lesson. Don't find fault with others. I don't know where we live. Here. We get a competitive mind. All the fibers of our being become spiritualized and reality begins to radiate. And now, the most optimistic statement of the Master, I am preparing such souls. We are not left. He has not said to us that you are a set of useless stuff. You have no aspiration. You are good for nothing fellows. You don't do your sadhana properly. He knows all that. That we don't do our sadhana properly, he knows better. There have been other occasions when he has pointed out that, asking us to get up, exhorting us. But here you find I am preparing such souls that they may have the full benefit of my services. Such souls has to deserve the benefit of his services. Please note it. This is a big digression. Some of you may not agree. Some of you may take it as bad. Still, I have got to make the remark. Since I made a note long back, I've got some notes on this side. This is a statement that was made in 81. And it says, I am preparing. If the successor to the Master, as he claims, or as they claim, have come into existence in 74, was there a necessity for this statement in 1981? Those of you who want to think rationally may think further. This gives me an added strength to believe that my Master is eternal. He is there guiding our destinies. It is not a preparation that is restricted to 1981. It's a preparation that may continue for years and centuries, because such men are required. I don't think human transformation has taken place, though it's about 50 years or 55 years. There has been an inclination towards the divine more and more, that we don't like it because they are temples, it's a separate issue. We don't have to go on finding faults of somebody, saying that they're inferior to us. Nobody is inferior to us, nobody is superior to us. We accept only one superior person, and that is our Master. And so far as others are concerned, all are equal. If this attitude is not maintained, we need not talk about spirituality. There's a stream. When it rains, umpteen number of streams flow from the mountains. Some are big, some are small. Some become rivers, some just end as a stream. And so are the several temples and mosques and churches that are coming today. They are in the process. They are in the process of merging into the big river of spirituality that is flowing. They will merge. They will have to merge. Not now. Okay. They will merge one day. There is no other alternative. There is no alternative to spiritual way of living. Religion is a bondage, both on ourselves and on God. When you say that Lord Venkateswara is the God, you are confining him to that place. When we say the Kaaba is the only place where you should go, you are confining him to that place. Then how is he liberated? He seems to be in chains. And how can he help me? I want liberation. I want freedom. How can a person who is already chained can liberate me? This is a rational question. Question raised by Master. At one end you are chained already, the man who is trying to help. Then how is he going to help me? He will make me go round. We will become Gargetu along with him. He will be one bull and we can be other bulls behind him. Anyway, on this auspicious day, I again tell you that this sentence I am preparing such souls should be taken by every one of us as the most optimistic statement ever made. Because if he is going to make the great souls from out of us, our views about ourselves, we know. Nobody need tell us. We don't have to have the courage to grant for ourselves a certificate. We don't have the courage. If you are honest, I don't think we'll grant for ourselves. If such is the stuff from which he is going to prepare such souls, what a great optimism. Now coming back to our assessment of other Abhyasis saying that he is no good, is it justified? While the appeal for improving the quality of the meditation of the Abhyasis cannot be given up, I do not think we should err judging others. Allow each man to be guided by the great master himself. As he puts it, your job ends with introducing a person. Tell the message, pass on the message to others. It is for the master to sink into the hearts of Abhyasis. Those people who are trying to compile, kindly make this point also in your mind. It is made out in some letter or some article. It is made this. Kindly note it. So these are all the things that help us give a very, very positive, constructive approach to the problem of life we have got. The craving of the soul, each soul, every one of us is a soul here. We need not confuse ourselves with the bodies that we have got. Everyone is a soul. The title of the message is that. We crave. Every one of us is trying to move towards the divine. We have so many impediments. Each one has got his own bandages. How can you say one set of bandages is superior or inferior to others? We should always, like brothers, give the helping hand to other person to come out of his problem. Yes, in the process we may say that you are deep into mire. You please make an effort to come up. I am also trying to pull up. If the other man tries to pull you down, you have got to tell him, you have no business to pull me down. You better come up. Our aspiration is to make great souls. Our aspiration is not sink into the levels of dirty souls. In the name of help, let us not sink. Because that is what exactly is happening every day. You ask somebody in your house to follow the system, they will say, no, you please avoid the system. You don't go for meditation today, what is it that is lost? Have we not got some better assignment today? Is there no better appointment for us today? Is this something more important? Don't you think such and such cinema is much more attractive in the TV? Why are you going to go and waste your time on meditation? Let us sit. Give company to me so that we can enjoy together. Have we not been talking like this? Don't fall. Don't fall a prey to that. Don't try to keep company with people who are definitely trying to pull you down. If possible, try to give them company to get up. Pull them up if you can. If you can't, be at least safe. There is every sense in living. Now, after having made the positive statement that he is making, such, he says that people, what is there in life, sir? The whole thing is rubbish. What is the use of this life? I got defeated, demoted, disgraced. What? Or they say, I have reached the pinnacle, sir. What is there more? I have reached the best place. There is nothing more to get. Both ways are there. Not only in living, but achieving the highest. You must achieve the highest, because he again tells you there is a duty. It's your duty to reach the highest, not something high. not something higher, but the highest. It's a superlative sense. I am satisfied with my conditions, sir. I have come across many abhyasis of this. Who, when pulled up saying that you are trying to fall, or you have fallen, or you are tending to fall, please note, please watch your condition, they don't like it. I am happy with my condition, sir. Please don't pester me. Okay, I said. But I don't pester them. I don't pester them consciously, but I serve them unconsciously. I continue my service. Because that is the commitment I have given to my master when we said that you please pass on my message. And please note that every one of you have said it. When you said that you want to be an abhyasi, you already said that you are going to spread the message of the master. Because when you are molding your life so as to arouse a feeling of love and piety in others, it's a promise that you have made. Keep it up. Keep it up. The craving of the soul can be satisfied best while one is living and existing. Please note it. Please note it. You must reach the highest condition now. If you don't, I had occasion earlier to point out that you will be lingering somewhere in the realms of the divine, and perhaps nobody is going to take you there unless you come down. And you will not come down. That's a separate chapter about which I would not like to talk now. Freedom from rebirth is not the same thing as realization. Freedom from rebirth is not an assurance in the system for all. By which I mean, not for all who do not practice or practice. It is for people who have accepted the master in toto, not in words. By following every sentence of his, by following the commandments assiduously, and by practicing as he has asked us to practice, then such people can definitely be sure they will not come down. Because he has told me when I asked him, Master, we say that we are going, this is our method which is going to give the freedom from rebirth. Is it true for in case of all? And he said, yes, provided they accept me. And in toto it means. Sarvadharman parityajya vamekam sarvam aham tvam sarvapayapyo mokshayishyami masucha. That is the promise of this master also, who is not different from Krishna. He is continuing the message. But then it is only for people who are prepared to get lost in the consciousness of Sri Ramchandra. All the time trying to express the divinity. All the time trying to show the master. Elsewhere, both the masters have said that divinity has hidden inside and exposed you. You please hide inside and expose the divine. The divine is the master who is aware with us. He is there in the heart. Allow it to be seen by others. By seeing us, let other people see. Here is the disciple of Sri Ramchandra. Let them be reminded of our master so that they also would get an inclination to move towards the divine. Don't get into your sloth. Don't get into your laziness. Don't get into your attachment for money, property and women and men. Status or otherwise. Let there be only one attachment, and that attachment to Sri Ramchandra. And if you have that, you are not going to come back. If you don't have it, you are going to come back. It is for you to decide. I cannot leave my attachment to money, sir. Okay, come back. You will learn next life. Nothing wrong. What is wrong? What is wrong with this world? It's a beautiful world created by God. We can enjoy here. As some people have said it, let me come back again and again, at least to be a devotee of thee, O Master. Yes, saints have sung like that. And Master makes a funny statement about it in reality at dawn. He says, I don't understand such saints who say that they will come again and again to be bhaktas. The minimum goal should be liberation, rebirth, from rebirth. He makes a statement. But then, is that our goal? Let us not talk about realization. Is this at least our goal? I remind again that ahimsa, satya, asteya, aparigraha, brahmacharya are the five things that have been considered as most essential to be a human being. Note the sentence there, thou art the real goal of human life. Are we humans? Put the question to yourself. Are we beasts? If you are a human, you should be having all these qualities. And you know your lapses on all five. I know, you know, everybody knows. But we have accepted a master who said, if you accept me, I will save you. If you are a human being and live like that for seven lives, then you have a scope for liberation, is what the tradition said. And here is a master who says, believe me, surrender to me, accept what I say, do what I say, think that whatever you do is what I do. Think all your ideas are mine. Don't have the kartritva bhavana, jnatritva bhavana, or the bhoktritva bhavana. You are not anybody here. It's I who is enjoying. Accept me in toto. I liberate you. A promise which I would like to recall again and again to the minds of people. And also warn that do not think simply because you have come here, you get that. Without doing your duty. Do your duty. They are very simple. Total put together, it is only about 1.5 hours or 2 hours. At certain fixed times. We are not prepared to do it. Don't do it. Be prepared to come again. What is wrong? Enjoy. What is wrong about this? Unless you've got already experienced a disgust in life, you will not feel this. But are you not disgusted with the way in which things are happening? Do you would like to come back to the society which is filthy, which stinks to the core? Is there one amongst us who is happy with the circumstances here? Is the environment oppressive? Would you still like to come? Do you have the courage to come and better it? I wish you all the best. I am not the defeatist. I will say yes, try. But note, in Kali Yuga, it has been stated that dharma will go on decreasing. We are only in the first pada of Kali. Only 5,000 years have gone. All virtues have been given a goodbye. No niyati. Our life is something that is not governed by any principle. Relationships have lost their value. Social, personal, family, everything. We don't tend to live with the feeling that we are united. We don't feel the origin. We feel we are independent. The one word that I am yet to understand in my life. I will be too happy if somebody can help me on that. I seem to be terribly dependent upon so many things. But I don't know how people say they are independent. Some people talk that they will stand on their legs. I have never seen one standing on the head so far. What is this that is going on? What is this extreme individual appeasement psychology? You want to appease all the time yourself? Have we not come to the disgraceful condition of not sharing even your own food with your children? I can tell you one wonderful example in my service. There was one gentleman. He had 14 children. His salary naturally was limited and he was a good man. So he does not know what to do. So he was taking gruel along with all his children all the time. All the days. No day food. All the day only. But on the first, he will get all the sweets and eat. Then I asked him, why are you eating here? Why don't you take home? Then he said, if I take home, there will be nothing for me to eat. That is the position. That is a genuine position of a person. I can pity him. But then is not that the same thing with majority of us? Would you not like to have whatever dish you want by going to such a restaurant as you think fit? Is it not true? Am I telling anything that is not true? Okay, at best you will add your spouse. Third person, we don't want. No brother-in-law picture, no father-in-law in the field, no mother-in-law in the field, no daughter in the field. Am I right or wrong? What is the expansion of your consciousness? People talk to me in meditation, there's an expansion of consciousness, sir. What is that expansion? I would like to know. How far is it expanded? They confuse the relative states of calmness that they get with expansion. Because at that time you are lost. You think I have got a great expansion. That has nothing to do with expansion. You have to expand. Your heart must expand. You should fly along with the divine. Because he is not prepared to be in that cage. As he says, it flutters and it flies and you fly along with him. Let the frontiers of your body be broken. Let the boundaries of the family be broken so that you expand. But are we prepared for it? Are there no constraints for it? Are you all that free? That is one angle. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Is another thing. One is the individual approach. At least this portion we must be prepared. Yes, I am prepared. I am ready. The constraints are something different. I can understand that. We cannot grow even if we want to. Our boundaries cannot be extended beyond a limit. But are you prepared? Are you prepared to argue for that case? Even if there were to be many others at your home who would not like to that. Would you prepare? Would you argue? But on the other hand, we will say, I have yielded to that, sir. You don't have even the courage to say, I defer. Lesser certain bestial pleasures are denied to you. Am I right? If I were to talk to you as a sadhaka. Is it not the real question? Why do you compromise? Is it not for some bestial appeasement? Some physical needs? Some psychological needs? Compromises on spiritual planes are made because of bondages at the lower plane. Swarajyam apnoti. How? How do you get? You can get only when a master of this type is available to you, is prepared to take you. At least yield to him. Follow what he says. That is the reason why he has not touched the much disgusting aspect of the bestial existence. All the time argued in tradition. You can never come out of your karma, you can never come out of your krodha unless you leave the family. You must become a recluse. You should behave like that, you should behave like that. Babuji refused to talk about that. His commandments don't talk about that. You understand? His commandments do not talk about these things. The two vexed problems of life, he doesn't talk. He says it is there. I will see to it that you mold. Meditate on point A. Meditate on point B. I will do the remaining work. All that you have got to do is to hold it when the wisdom comes. No, you allow it to lapse. Every day he tells you. Every day he gives you an experience of wisdom. Every day we allow it to go. Sink back into earth. So there is nothing wrong about our living or existing. Everything is happy here. Know the path, move on. Nobody knows the shore. Again, he tells you the same thing, beyond and beyond. He tells you, again, don't think this is the end. You have got to go. far. The beauty of the training of my master is that spiritual life runs parallel to the life in the world with ever-increasing efficiency. As I told you, the much abused concept of our system is the parallelity. They think that both these things are equal. I do not know. There are many scientists here who can correct me. The two wings of the plane are parallel or straight, I do not know. But it takes a skew. What does it happen? For you to answer. I will answer. No, no, that is true. You are talking something else. These two wings are there. Are they parallel? Or the straight line?
They are on the same plane. That is, same plane.
Plane.
Same plane.
Same plane. Would it mean something that is not parallel? I don't know. I leave it there. Because flying with both the wings is another concept. And when we talk about parallelity here, we say that the line of divinity which goes, and then the line of humanity goes. The line of humanity is parallel to that. Parallels, are they real or the illusion? It's another question which you people have to answer. They merge in the infinite, they say. So what happens here? From my point of view, parallelism is an illusion. You have got to have a belief that the divine is along with you. The divinity is in your heart, and you are there also in the body. This matter also is there. There is a parallelism in that sense of togetherness. Anyway, I leave it there. Once you have decided to attach yourself with the system, while regulation of mind is the responsibility of the master, please give a fair trial and have your own experiences after some time. This is another most misunderstood sentence of the master. Because regulation of mind is the responsibility of the master. Therefore, I go on flirting with my ideas. Of the basest thoughts that are available in this world, I would like to flirt with it. This is what has happened. People do not think that this is an assistance that is coming to you. When he says it's my responsibility, you do your best and I will do the remaining things. He is only telling you that the diversion of the flow of consciousness is my job. I will try to do that. You do your sadhana. On the other hand, our way of understanding it is the duty of the master. Therefore, what shall I do? I read detective fiction. I read pornographic literature. I go to the cinema. I read newspapers which are worthless. I see a TV program. I read anything other than that of the master's works. Almost with a determined effort. If I can put it, that seems to be the most determined effort that we have got, not to read the master's books. As I told you, please do not misunderstand me. I am an optimist. What I am trying to tell you is, this is the lapse you have got. Please come out of this pitfall. Lock, stock and barrel, throw them out. They might have been collected at very expensive prices. The filthy literature, I mean. The Raddi fellow will be too happy to take it. If you give it free to him, that may be an indication of the sacrifice that you are doing, at least of dirt. Because I am 100% sure majority of the people would expect something in turn from the Raddiwala. You want to throw the paper? It's ready. It's a useless thing for you. You would like to collect some money from him. The attachment to money, dhaneshana, is a very, very peculiar thing. At least gift it. If you can't gift noble things, gift at least dirty things. It may appear a bit odd that I talk like this, but is it not true that your attics are filled with this? Is it not true that your library is filled with these books? With this type of videotapes, with this type of audio tapes. Is it not true? It's a pungent remark that I have got. But then, is it true or not? Control of mind is possible only when your mind is living on the divine. I repeat, Master's article on control of mind, and one of the messages at Madras, it is the nature of mind to be tuned with the divinity. That is the parallelism that he was referring to in the previous line. Mind is in tune with divine, and anything other than the divine, it throws out. It's a refuse. So if you have got to control your mind, you must read only divine literature. If your mind is confused, it is because you are reading rubbish. Then why read rubbish and then complain that your mind is confused or is having conflicting ideas? Why don't you read only noble literature? Why don't you read only things which are divine? Why don't you make it more and more pure by effort? No, Master said, sir, that he will do that job. Here the Master refers again to the divinity. Divine expels your rubbish. It does its duty. It controls your mind. Please note, the divine controls your mind. That is why it is throwing out rubbish. Continuously, whatever you are trying to put in, it throws out. The help of the Master is always there. The divinity is, as I told you, our best friend who is trying to clear up from our head all rubbish. The control of the mind is really the divine task. He is doing that. All that you have got to do is don't throw rubbish there. You don't do the job of collecting rubbish in the name of inquisitiveness, knowledge gaining, to be in tune with the latest GK, for whatever reason it may be. These are our ideas. How we collect filth is a chapter in psychology by itself. You can go on reading. How we collect filth. And having collected all these things, you say that you are not helping. It is a divine duty to expel. But the poor man has been working in your head, trying to throw it out all the time. But then, is overtaxed. God is overworked. He doesn't get no extra wages for it. Overtime work he is doing. Daytime he does it. Nighttime dreams also he does it. And in spite of it, the filth is not removed. Very poor worker. He doesn't foot the bill. We are capable of making the head so dirty. Such a big dustbin, he can't clean it. So give a trial at least, he says. There cannot be any breakdown in spirituality if faith and desire for the ultimate is there. Those of us who stop our meditation in between and then say, sir, I have not found the progress and all that, they cannot think that they have been let off by God. He's such a cantankerous friend. He never leaves you. Once you have made some friendship with him, he is not prepared to leave. Do whatever you want. He is there along with you. He doesn't leave us. He always tells us that, a damn fellow, you have to do something better. Leave me for a moment. I collected so much of filth. You get lost in that filth. No. I'll try to expel it and then I am there with you. I'll somehow make my presence felt. You can't help my presence. You can't get rid of me. Can there be a better approach to spirituality than this? Once you start the introduction properly, you can't help his presence. And I am happy about it at least. Provided proper introduction was there. Otherwise, there is always a God. Antaryami is always there. Physical or mental troubles do not tell upon spirituality. Is it so? It's an assurance here. Babaji says, don't bother too much. They are bound to be there. It doesn't affect your spiritual condition. Once you have got a spiritual condition, you will not lose it. Because of this trouble or that trouble, temporarily you may forget. previous sentence and this sentence, if you read together, then you know temporarily if you stop it because of your physical trouble or a mental trouble. I have now a personal way of looking at it also. I'll tell you one example. I will not name the persons. One gentleman has reached a very high condition of prapanagati long back, almost. But then the problems at home were so bad, he forgot. He could not. He was in a confused state all the time. Doing routine, if possible. If not possible, leaving that also. Another gentleman who came much later once made a statement about the other person, saying, talking some platitudes to him. Then I said, please don't talk to him like that. He knows more. I had to say this. Because the spiritual condition of the person was such that he knew that. But temporarily, he's in cloud. We should not make such judgments that easily and make judgments without knowing his condition is not correct also. The spirituality will not go. Don't judge a person by that. Now, that I don't know whether my friend is here. When the introduction was done or a course was started, his report made me feel that he's an advanced person. Then I said, I'll personally try to look to him. And I went to him. I found him a very advanced person. I said, you're already at that plane. Now it's much easy to practice, provided you accept a master. Traditionally bound, he had his own reservations. He took his own time. Now he's there with us. Why I'm saying is, whatever you have gained in this life will not go away in the next. What you have gained in the last life will not go away now. And every one of us have made some progress in our past life, otherwise we will not meet here. The system is so pure that nobody would have come, would walk into this system that easily. Because it's easier to go to some temple, some dargah, some church, or do some japam, some tapam, some catch hold of some mantra, yantra, tantra, whatever it is we can do. But here this is pure spirituality. People, how will it be lost? I don't know how it will be lost. You visit such and such place, sir, you will get your time. You won't walk in here and stay here for some time unless there is already a good karma behind. There is something like the past that comes with us. My master unequivocally disturbs, spirituality is my responsibility as practice is your responsibility. So don't try to give excuses for practice, saying that master will do that practice. You better do that practice. He will take care of spirituality. Religion is really the signpost on the way to God realization. But you will have to pave the right way for yourself. Those of you who have seen a signpost must be thinking that the road also is neat afterwards. It need not necessarily be so if you have moved in the interior villages of India or the mountains where several holy places are marked, saying that you go, this is the way to Jabali Tirtham, this is the way to go to some number of religious places are there. In the Himalayas, you go this way, you get this, you go that way, you get that. And you walk about 15 miles, 20 miles, 25 miles, 30 miles, and on a rough terrain, you have to go. Signpost only tells you, if you go this way, you will get it. It does not assure you that the path is something that is clearly paved, and then you can walk on that. They're very much like our Indian roads. We should be happy about that. At least one thing on which we should grant we should acknowledge our indebtedness to the government is the bad roads that are there after the signposts. Your signposts will give you good roads elsewhere. In our country, we are fortunate fellows. We know where it will lead. We don't know where it will lead. Here he says, it's a signpost to God realization, but you will have to pave the right path yourself, right way yourself. It tells you this is wisdom to get out all these things. Beyond that, it serves no purpose. People who would like to cling to the signpost are welcome. Instead of moving on the path, if they would like to cling to the signpost, that is a good way of being religious. Go to certain some amount of humor also within this. It makes you lighter. Problems are so many with all humanity, And as such, as one remains attentive to a problem, it becomes a stumbling block for him. This is precisely a point that you should note. Problems are there for us, but why should we stick on to it all the time? The problem is not going to be solved by thinking about it here. And another place, again, kindly, some of you who search the books, kindly note, there is one statement, if you can spend, instead of thinking about the problem, if you can think about me at that time, the problem will be solved and your purpose also will be served. Why don't you do that, he says. We think about the problem. And he says, you think about me, the problem may get solved and you will also be bettering yourself. Why do you think about a problem which you cannot solve? I cannot tell you where exactly it is, but I have read that sentence. Disappointments make us cowards. That is true. Disappointments. You've got a problem and go on worrying about it, disappointed about it, it makes us cowards. That means it makes you go to the religion and then, oh God, grant me this. I will give you in turn this. You marry my daughter, I will marry you. To a concert that you got already. Again and again I will do that job. It doesn't matter much, on the same day somebody else is also marrying you, but I will marry you also. 100 people join together to marry the same person to the same concert in the same venue, and that is the joke of religion. Laugh at it if you can. If you can't laugh at it, keep quiet. But I laugh. I laugh at the whole thing. It's such a ridiculous proposition. I can't even think that such things can be accepted. I don't mind. I don't marrying his every day somebody, one person doing the marriage for one person. The same marriage is being performed by 100 people, 1,000 people, and each one of them is vying with each other. Is it a big kalyanam or a small kalyanam? Or how can there be a big kalyanam or a small kalyanam? I don't know. I come from the temple town, so I am amused at the whole fun. For your information, I have never performed one. I will never perform one because he is always happy. Let me not try to divorce him from his concern and then marry him again. He is a regular daily exercise, poor man. He is being denied his concern and then somebody takes her out and then see somebody brings her in and again takes her out. What is this fun every day?
Yes.
100 people pay and only one marriage. That's it. 100 people perform. So who is the kanya data? Who is the person who is doing this for this marriage? Nobody knows. So people who are highly devoted to Lord Venkateswara, even like me, may feel offended. But I have got better understanding of that way, that Venkateswara, than others. That's a matter that is not to be discussed now. But my point is simple. It's such a ridiculous exercise. Every day it's going on. And what is this big and small? We don't know. How can there be a big kalyanam and a small kalyanam for the same person at the same time?
Same
person at the same time. One is big and one is small. All that matters is the prasadam that I get. 10 laddus here and 20 laddus for somebody else. So we can have some fun with religion. They may get annoyed, but then amusement certain times makes some people annoyed. And it makes us cowards, I said. Babaji says it makes us cowards. Because the cowardice makes you think in terms of a solution which is not rational, which is not based on some principles of equity. You have done something wrong, you have got some problem. You better get out of it. No. I would like to go such and such a temple. If I visit such and such temple, they say the problems that I have got will be lost. Going on with it. That is, I am there. Once I have given an appointment to you, once I said that I have accepted you as Rabiazi, once I said that divinity will work through you, this divinity, divine flow is working behind you. Don't think that you are an incompetent person. Don't get into that state of saying that I am not able to do this, I am not able to do that. You will be in a position to do it. All that is required is a certain amount of will. In that case, there is no idea either of the past or the future. You need not worry about the past, which brings you all the problems of your life. This is all karma phala that you are having. You need not worry about the future, because that you are following my system and you are not going to have those karmas. So neither the past is there, nor the future is there, and you are a person who is going to be free. Be like a tiger in the realm of God, and progress is assured. Cowards, he says, don't be cowards. If you yield to a particular thing, if you feel disappointment, you become cowards. Don't feel disappointed. You are appointed. You wanted that. You got it. Or divine wants it. Therefore, you got it. In either case, you accept it. Accept everything as divine gratitude. The main purpose of our mission is to install spirituality in place of prevailing non-spirituality. Pronouncing Master's message, awake, O sleepers, it is the hour of the dawn. I don't think it requires any further clarification. It's a very simple thing. Awake, O sleepers. We are sleeping. For what? We are sleeping to the presence of the divinity that is expressing himself here. It is the hour of the dawn, the first few years of his life, which is going to extend to a millennium. It is the hour of the dawn still. And we had the courage to say the sun has already come. The institute has got that emblem to say, yes, here is a master. It is no more hour of the dawn for me. Because 50 years is sufficiently long. We are facing the Master. We are having him. It is now, there is no point in sleeping even after the sun has risen up. Okay, it's hour of the dawn. If you don't get up, there's an appeal. But what right have we to sleep now when he has already come up? It is ignoring the presence of divinity of the Master here that makes you sleep, that makes you slothful, that makes you disrespect his commandments. Every commandment has to be followed, and if you don't follow it, please note there's a disrespect to the Master. This disobedience to the Master. The change, of course, cannot come overnight. The beast in us is not going to yield that easily. Our habits die hard. Our attachments are too much. Even if I want to get rid of somebody else, they don't want to get rid of. I asked my father once, how would you summarize renunciation? Then he said, when you come to a stage, there comes a stage when you can say that I have nothing to do with the society, with all the people in and around. I got detached. We are perfectly renounced when they tend to neglect you totally. When your existence or otherwise is not a matter of consequence to others, then you are renounced. That was how he was telling me. So that particular attitude will take a long way. Even if you want to be out, others will always cling to you. They will try to pull you down all the time. Have they forgotten you as a useless fellow who will not hear? You seem to have your own way. Either they are condemned to follow you, but they will definitely condemn themselves by leaving us. It is left to them. But have you the determination? The aim will, however, certainly be achieved if its members work with love, patience, and cooperation. I can only appeal to you on his behalf, apart from what he has done, that let us have this. Love we should have for our Master, patience with ourselves we should have first, and cooperation with others also are required. Patience is not so much with others. Many people think patience is with others. You must be patient to other people. Think, no, you ought to be patient with yourself. You know how wretched fellow you are every day, sinking back to the same position again and again. Don't give the task. Don't give up the task. Follow it. Repeat. Persevere. Persevere in the path. Develop the patience. So fortitude may be something connected with others, but patience is with ourselves. I need such persons who may shine out like the sun. People themselves will be attracted when they know that our method is correct. This is the appeal. This is the appeal of the master. He says, behave. Behave properly so that other people will get attracted to this path. You will be the persons who will help others. You will be serving others. One lion is better than 100 sheep. Because what is required is courage. Earlier you used the word tiger. Earlier to that you used the word coward. And now he uses the word lion, the king of animals, most courageous one. And then he says, one lion is better than 100 sheep. But we should try it as human beings to do spiritual good to others. That is the logic he gives. People themselves will be attracted when they know that our method is correct. If you are going to live like that, you have got to be a lion. Why? To better others. What if they don't come? You are true. One lion is better than 100 sheep. But nothing wrong in trying to serve others. We should try as human beings to do spiritual good to others. This will enable many of the abhyasis and trainers who feel depressed often, saying that, sir, in spite of my telling several times, they don't come. He has put everything that I said in the deaf ear. I have wasted my time for 5 hours with him. I talked to him repeatedly, sir, about this. He doesn't want to follow. Don't lose your patience. Tell. It is only one line will come. Everybody will not come. But nothing wrong in telling about it. Go on telling. We should try as human beings to do spiritual good to others. As human beings. Oh Master, thou art the real goal of human life. Are we thinking in terms of human beings, this spiritual service? Are we getting oriented towards the service as a human being? Does your concept of human include that? Is your mind clear on this subject? For you to meditate and know. Earnest labor on Master's way shall never go in vain. I'm sure our effort together here now has not gone in vain. It makes us rededicate ourselves to our path. Our craving of the soul is going to be fully satisfied. Have that confidence. Namaste. I've taken a lot of time. I can't help it. They have given such a topic to me. Now you must be hungry. The animal in us is behaving. Let it behave. Or misbehave. Or whatever it does.